T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is 2 minutes after the noon o'clock hour, and 3 hours of sports talk excellence start right now. Live from the couch at the Casa de Love and officially one cowabunga away from the microphone, I am Rob Brown. Give it to me, Diesel.
Lockdown!
There it is. My man D-Train, the head honcho at the Radio Ranch, pushing the button, switching all the switches. Back there at the Palatial ESPN Upstate Studios. How the hell's your Wednesday so far, Diesel?
Head split and wide open, but I'm here, man.
Ruh-roh. Uh-oh, did we get into the sauce a little bit last night?
No, we did not.
No. Just one of those I'm getting old and everything hurts headaches, huh?
Yeah, may have to go take a bath and some Epsom salts later. I don't even know what Epsom salts do. But apparently you're supposed to bathe in them when you don't feel good.
It's funny. I have had people suggest them to me many times in the past. And I also have no idea what Epsom salt does, right? I know it has some sort of mineral. It's not traditional salt, right? It's not sodium chloride. There's all I learned in 4 years of high school chemistry. It is not just sodium chloride. It's got some other ingredient, magnesium, sulfur, and oxygen, a completely different chemical compound than table salt, although it is. So it's not actually salt at all. Let's see. Most of the reported benefit, we're doing like a live Wikipedia right now, but Diesel, I realized when you said that, I also have no idea what Epsom salt does, and I actually want to know for some reason, right?
See, I feel like it's probably all just water, hocus pocus.
According to Healthline.com, it is made of magnesium sulfate and oxygen, and when dissolved in water, it releases magnesium and sulfate ions, and the idea is that these particles can be absorbed through your skin, providing you with magnesium and sulfates, which serve important bodily function. Healthline.com, quote, just to the contrary, there is no good evidence that magnesium or sulfates are absorbed into your body through the skin, end quote. So you might be right here, D-Train. It may just be the old wives' tale of medicine, the old don't go outside or you catch the cold, even though that's not how colds work at all.
So what you're saying is you'd be better off just dropping a couple Alka-Seltzers into your bathtub and just watching
yes.
the bubbles.
I'm just saying take a Tylenol, you know? Like, Tylenol can work, so there's that. Magnesium may also help your body produce melatonin, a hormone that promotes sleep, as low magnesium levels may negatively affect sleep quality and stress. Some people claim that taking Epsom salt baths can reverse these issues by allowing your body to absorb magnesium through the skin. However, it's more likely that the calming effects of Epsom salt baths are simply due to the relaxation caused by taking a hot bath. So just take a hot shower and go to bed is all this. Like, that's basically what this is. The reason, Diesel, that your boy stays up until 4 o'clock in the morning is 100% not because I don't have enough magnesium and just because I'm an unhealthy person with unhealthy sleep habits. That's all. That's all there is to it. So there you go. We learned something today, Diesel. Now we know that Epsom salts don't work for things that they're supposed to work for. I feel smarter already.
Next topic on NPR.
Text line 71307.
Birds.
Coming up next on the Rob Brown Show, Epsom salts. Do they work? And are we simply being set up by Big Salt?
I think we're getting set up by Big Salt. It's not even salt.
Morton's. Got us again.
At ESPN, Rob Brown, the science guy, strikes again. I just like reading words, Diesel. I just like reading things. I actually don't know if I've ever used Epsom salt before, to tell you the truth, now that I think about it. Okay, anyway. And of course, the day of frustration continues. All right, there we go. We're good. We're set up. We're ready to rock and roll. A lot of things to talk about on the show. And ordinarily, this is the point at this is the point in time where Diesel and I would do the lunch break, down the three things that you have to know before you go talk sports around the water cooler. But we're changing it up today, Diesel, because there is one story that is broken today that will be the big story for you sports fans out there. And it is the fact that UConn, which last month officially left the American Athletic Conference, has announced that it has suspended its football program for the 2020 season due to the coronavirus. UConn went 2-10 last year. Not exactly the best team, so it's not like you're missing out on a lot. But they are now officially the first FBS program to suspend its football program because of the pandemic, as they were expected to play as an independent this season. According to UConn Athletic Director David Benedict, he said in a news release, quote, "After receiving guidance from state and public health officials and consulting with football student athletes, we decided that we will not compete on the gridiron this season. The safety challenges created by COVID-19 place our football student athletes at an unacceptable level of risk." According to their coach, Randy Etzel, he said, quote, "We engaged and listened to the concerns of our football student athletes and feel this is the best decision for the health, safety, and well-being. Our team is united in this approach, and we will use this time to further player development within the program and gear ourselves to the 2021 season. The university said that members of the football team will remain enrolled in classes either virtually or in person and would have access to facilities and support services to ensure they remain on track academically." Benedict said, quote, "The necessary measures needed to mitigate risk of football student athletes contracting the coronavirus are not conducive to delivering an optimal experience for our team. Ultimately, the student athletes would rather preserve their year of eligibility with an eye to competing under more typical circumstances during the 2021 season," end quote. Four games that were already on UConn's schedule, which included roadies at Illinois and Ole Miss and homestands against Indiana and FCS foe Maine, were already canceled because of the scheduling decisions by those teams' leagues. Games at Virginia and North Carolina were in question, still on the table as a possibility, but since the ACC obviously went to the 10+1 model, there was no assurance that UConn would be picked up as the out-of-conference opponent for either UVA or UNC. UConn's players released a statement as a collaborative that said, quote, "As a team, we are in full support of the decision to not compete in 2020. We have many health concerns, and not enough is known about the potential long-term effects of contracting COVID-19. Additionally, we would not have had the optimal time to train mentally and physically to be properly prepared to compete this season. We love this game and love competing. We came to campus in the beginning of July knowing there would be challenges presented by the pandemic, but it is apparent to us now that these challenges are, quote, impossible to overcome," end quote. Diesel, that is enormous news out of UConn, and on top of that, news that could very well have a wide-ranging and quick-spreading impact in college football.
Well, just like everything that takes precedent to get this thing started, somebody was going to have to be the first domino to fall. Now, we've already seen a couple of FCS programs and a couple of FCS conferences make those decisions, but we hadn't seen anybody at the FBS level make it, either from the single school standpoint or from the conference level. And UConn has been in a really rough spot over the past couple of years. Their attendance is god-awful. Their performance is god-awful. They got booted out of their own conference. So they left because they couldn't afford to be there anymore. So UConn has been in a really tight space over the past couple of seasons. And I think UConn is going to be indicative because there are a lot of college football programs there that, out there that operate in a massive deficit. And who knows? Who knows if this is the first domino to fall? Maybe they're the only ones who are going to say, you know what? No, no season this year. And maybe UConn will extend the decision and say, you know what? Maybe football is just not in our best interest at all.
Yeah, that's the concern that a lot of us has had, and it looks like UConn has officially said that unfortunately it's not worth it at this point in time. We'll see if any other colleges decide to follow that path. Again, the release from the players is a big deal because Diesel, you and I both had the exact same thought up front, right? Which was, wow, we're probably going to see an exodus of players from UConn who take this as an opportunity to jump to another school. But the players themselves have released a letter as a group saying that, hey, look, when it comes down to it, we just felt like there were too many questions, too many concerns that could not be answered, too many challenges that could not be overcome, and that's why we decided to cancel this. And the players seem to be on board with that. And that's the other thing, because when we talk, Diesel, about college football programs, coaches, ADs, trying to make their decisions about what they're going to do, very rarely has anybody said, well, I wonder what the players' concerns are. It seems here like the players may have actually been the catalyst to get UConn to cancel football. No other school is racing to make that decision, but UConn's players, it almost sounds like they were the ones who kind of pushed the school in that direction, which is very interesting.
Yeah, again, I want to see where this is going to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And the big question now is going to be, now that we've had the first big school to drop out, will we see other schools at that level decide that they want to go down the same road? The Huskies of UConn, for those of you just tuning in, are now the first FBS program who have decided to go ahead and postpone their 2020 football season, or I should say go ahead and suspend football operations until next season. One big other factor that plays into this is that UConn self-reports as one of the most cash-strapped athletic departments in the FBS. According to the financial data filed with the NCAA, in 2018, UConn generated about $79.3 million in revenue. 49-ish% of that revenue came from institutional sports. So around $30.5 million came from institutional support. Student fees provided about $8.5 million. $2.7 million was raised from donors, and $2.4 million was raised from football ticket sales. So roughly, give or take, 3.1 out of $79.3 million was generated from football. And that is a remarkably low number for an FBS football program. We'll talk more about what this means and what impacts it might have on college football moving forward throughout the remainder of the show. A couple of texts already in, 71307. Start your text with ESPN. Texter says, honestly, it sounds like the players asked for safety guarantees and the school decided it was just easier to cancel the season. I'd be interested to hear from the players. Well, we have now, as the players have released that statement saying that they're on board with this decision. Now, I don't know how many players that came from. Was it from the team as a whole? Was it just from a handful of players who decided to speak out? We don't know that yet, or at least that information has not been provided to me yet, though I am looking for it. But it does sound like the players, if they weren't on board for this decision, may have actually been the catalyst for this decision, that their concern over their safety and well-being was greater than that of school. I mean, here's the reality. UConn is going to lose money by not playing football, even if it is without fans. But UConn has a challenge that everybody else, with the exception of Notre Dame, does not have, which is that they don't have a television contract as an independent. They don't have conference revenue to fall back on as an independent. Notre Dame can float that way because they've got that sweet NBC cash flowing at them. UConn
does not, which makes this an even more difficult decision for UConn. 71307 ESPN, do you think it matters that they didn't have a winning, a good record? Would it make a bigger impact if they were a winning team? Diesel, I think the only thing that makes this a bigger impact is if the school was making money. If UConn was bringing in $20 million a year in football, it's probably a much tougher decision. But considering they were bringing in about, let's call it $5.3 million out of a $79 million budget, yeah, that actually probably made this an easier decision to make than many other FBS, I'd say most other FBS schools will have to, to think about.
Well, all of these are going to be contributing factors as to how and potentially why a program gets mothballed completely. You don't have a conference. You're not making any money. Nobody shows up to your games. You're not on television. Shut down. That's what happens. That's why you drop down. That's why you drop the program, or that's why you drop down to maybe even the FCS level. I mean, I think UConn, we keep thinking about UConn being this big juggernaut because they're so great in women's basketball. And in the past, they've been really good in men's basketball as well. And I think once or twice, UConn football was solid, but that was a decade ago. The program as a whole, the football program especially, is catastrophically bad. So there's no reason, I think, for that program to be spending and shelling out the kind of money that they were to be in a conference that wasn't getting them nearly the revenue that they actually needed. So they might fit well in like the Colonial Athletic Association, which would put them in a league with like the University of Delaware, Hofstra, those kind of schools that are Northeastern, those schools that are in the Boston, Philadelphia area. I think they'd fit very well with that. They were a massive geographic outlier being in the American Athletic Conference. It didn't make any sense whatsoever for them to be in that league. So other than being able to provide UConn women's basketball.
I would like to pull the clip of you saying the program is catastrophically bad, and we're just going to use that as a drop from now on our show. 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. Text us 71307, 71307. Get at us on Twitter at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show on Twitter, or you can tweet Diesel at Diesel on Radio. You can also check us out at ESPN Upstate to tweet all of us here at the Radio Ranch. We'd love to have you as part of the show. Real quick break. We come back here in just a minute. I am getting to do something very exciting this afternoon, and you're going to want to follow the ESPN Upstate Twitter account and the at The Rob Brown Show Twitter account in order to follow along with me today. I am going to be able to attend a local sporting event to cover it, and I'll tell you what that is and how much fun it's going to be, at least for me, when we come back on The Rob Brown Show. I am Rob Brown. My man Diesel's back at the Radio Ranch. This is The Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown. The pleasure is exclusively mine. Diesel's back at the Radio Ranch, pushing all the buttons, switching all the switches. Great to have you along for the ride with us today. So, kind of excited because today will mark your boys' first experience with live local sports. I want to send a very, very, very large thank you out to our friends Chris Lewis and Doug Irwin of the Greenville Triumph, our professional USL League One soccer team right here in the upstate, as they have been kind enough to invite me to and allow me to come cover today's Greenville Triumph match, which is going to take place at 7 o'clock tonight against Tormenta. That is going to be a lot of fun. I'll be getting there around 5:30 or so this afternoon to get all set up, and I will be covering that game live. If you are a fan of local sports, if you are a fan of local soccer, and if you are a fan of the Greenville Triumph, then I would urge you to give me a follow on Twitter at The Rob Brown Show and follow our station account as ESPN Upstate. I'll be tweeting from both of those accounts this afternoon as I will be live in attendance for the first place squad in USL 1. Remember, they played for Madison last week on the road, a very, very difficult place to go play, and they were able to walk out of there with a 0-0 tie and take 1 point away. That does leave them on top of the table right now in USL League 1. They had a couple of wins before that, 2 wins and a draw, and so far nobody else is even in that category. The Red Wolves and Union Omaha have both 1 win and 1 draw with only 2 matches played. They play tonight as well. So the Triumph looking for their 4th match and 3rd win in those 4 matches this evening at 7 o'clock. That game's available for you on ESPN+. But you can also follow along from inside the stadium with me at The Rob Brown Show on Twitter, at ESPN Upstate on Twitter. I'll be making Facebook posts as well on our at ESPN Upstate Facebook page. So make sure that you check us out there. And I got to tell you, looking forward to it. You know, I've said on the show a number of times that one of the reasons that I was very, very excited to get here and take this opportunity was because not just of the passion about sports here in this market, but about the passion and prevalence of local sports in it. You know, obviously we've got Clemson and South Carolina as the crown jewels of local sports just down the road in either direction, but there is a lot of great, great sport right here in Greenville and Spartanburg as well. And the Greenville Triumph, as a soccer guy, very, very excited to have been able to make acquaintances with and have a very good working relationship with the Greenville Triumph. You know, Doug and Chris have done such a phenomenal job with that team and have been more than welcoming and accommodating to me as the new guy here in town and the new soccer fan here on the show. And they have gone out of their way to make this available. And I spoke to them about it. And it's important to them. We've talked about this with them on the air before. It's very important with them to have a very close, very personal, very intimate, very successful working knowledge, or I should say working relationship, with the fan base here in the upstate. Because at the end of the day, just like every other professional sporting team, that team can only maintain success if it does have that close, positive relationship with the people here in the upstate that support them. So they have offered me the opportunity to come there and be the liaison between all of us, the sports fans in the upstate, and the soccer club itself. And I am absolutely going to take advantage of that opportunity and going to say a very humble yes. I would love to be able to do that. So again, if you're not already, toss me a follow on Twitter at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show, and follow our ESPN Upstate handle, at ESPN Upstate, as I will be live this evening at Legacy to cover the Greenville Triumph as they take on Tormenta FC at 7 o'clock this evening. I will be in attendance in the stadium. I may very well be the only fan slash media member in attendance, to tell you the truth. I'm not sure that there will be that many of us in the stadium, as USL League One games are still, for now, closed to the public. So this is your first opportunity to get a behind-the-scenes look at the Greenville Triumph. If you've got anything specific that you want me to look for, to ask, to cover, etc., now's your opportunity. Send me a message at The Rob Brown Show on Twitter, at ESPN Upstate on Twitter, or text it to me at 71307, and I will be more than happy to answer any questions that you guys might have about the program once I make it to the stadium this evening. So big opportunity. Looking forward to that. Again, at The Rob Brown Show, at ESPN Upstate on Twitter, if you'd like to follow along this evening, as I will be covering the Greenville Triumph live, their second match here in the Upstate from inside Legacy. And I am very much looking forward to that opportunity. And I want to thank the Greenville Triumph, Doug Irwin and Chris Lewis, for making that possible for all of us here across the Upstate. 844-GSP, ESPN, 844-477-3776. We come back here in just a minute. Look at the NBA games from yesterday, set for today. Huge, huge upsets yesterday in the NBA. A couple that will have an impact on Zion Williamson and his Pelicans' opportunities to make it into the playoffs, as well as maybe shuffle around the order. The only team with their seed locked in right now are the LA Lakers at number one in the West. The Eastern competition has fallen off a little bit. Over in the West, we got a dogfight for that 9 seed and the opportunity to play the 8 seed in a play-in game. And it may not be as clear-cut as you think after the matches yesterday. All that and more coming up on The Rob Brown Show. I'm Rob. He's Diesel. This is The Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is right here on ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown. My man Diesel is the head honcho with the Radio Ranch back there pushing the button, switching the switch. It's great to have you along for the ride today. Big day in the NBA yesterday as the association saw a couple of big-time games take place, including the biggest NBA upset in 27 years. The Brooklyn Nets were an 18.5 point underdog going up against the Milwaukee Bucks. I did not like that number. I thought that number was infinitely too high. Turns out it was, as the Nets got out there and got a 3-point victory over the Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo and his Cream City Deers were just absolutely shocked. It was a stunner for one of the biggest upsets in NBA history yesterday afternoon. It was supposed to be a one-sided beatdown, and it was everything but. That team in the Brooklyn Nets were one of the teams that kind of exemplified the whole "we aren't here to screw around" thing, and they showed it. Also in the West, Sacramento fell to Dallas 114-110. Luka Doncic with another triple-double. That kid is a monster. You also had in a game that is mucho importante in the development of the race for eight in the West, Phoenix knocked off the Clippers 117-115. Over in the East, Miami 112-106 knocks off the Boston Celtics in another upset. Oh, how about another upset? 110-102, the Trailblazers hold off the Houston Rockets. The Rockets, of course, went with that small ball lineup, the smallest starting lineup in the NBA. And Dame Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers, who roll out one of the tallest lineups in the NBA, are able to knock off the speedy Rockets by just dominating from the inside, and they very, very much did. Also breaking in the West yesterday, the Grizz lost Jaren Jackson Jr., who it turns out after injuring himself in that game against the Pelicans over the weekend, suffered a torn meniscus and is now out for the season. He is done for the year, a big loss for the Memphis Grizzlies. So where does that leave us right this second? Well, the Lakers right now, the only team that have locked in their seeding for the playoffs. They're the number one overall seed out in the West. And let's just face it, they are going to go into the playoffs as the favorite in the West despite the missing players. The Clippers are second at 45-22, 6.5 games back of the Lakers. They will end up being your two seed unless the Denver Nuggets keep shocking people. They are only a game behind the Clippers, and that absolutely could be a race that comes down to the very last game of the season. The Rockets, 42-25 after dropping yesterday, are two games back of Denver for the three seed. The Jazz are squared up with the Rockets at 42-25. The Thunder are six at 41-25. 41-29, remember they played a couple of extra games before they were supposed to have some time off when the lockdown hit. The Dallas Mavericks are in seventh. So that brings us to our race for the 8 and 9 at this point. Where do we stand? Well, the Grizzlies hang on to a 1.5 game lead over the Trailblazers. The Trailblazers right now, after a big win over the Rockets, are now just a game and a half out of the 8 seed, which means that if the season ended today, you would have that 2-game playoff between the Grizz and the Blazers. But they are not clear just yet. Just a half game behind the Trailblazers are the San Antonio Spurs. And then just a half game behind the San Antonio Spurs are the New Orleans Pelicans. And just a half behind the New Orleans Pelicans are the Phoenix Suns in 12th. And just a half game behind them are the Sacramento Kings, right? All of those teams right now are playing in Orlando. The Kings get a big win. The Suns get a big win. The Pelicans get they get shellacked in the first two games, but look like a much different team with Zion on the floor. They're on that one-game win streak now. The Spurs lost their last game and dropped them back. They actually would have been the 9 seed if it wasn't for their last L. The Trailblazers, of course, with that huge upset win over the Rockets yesterday, maintained the 9 seed. So who's the favorite here? Well, I gave you my fearless prediction before we went into this. My fearless prediction was that it was going to be the Pelicans. I thought that they had the most momentum going into the lockdown, and I thought arguably just eye-testing it from afar, I don't think there's chemistry like there seems to be with the Pelicans, but unfortunately, that chemistry was not really good for much. Now, granted, in that L that they took to the Clippers that was never even a game after the first 5 minutes was up, nobody was beating the Clippers that day. Not the Lakers, not the Nugs, not the Rockets, not anybody, not Giannis and his Bucks. Nobody was knocking off the Clippers that day, right? They just looked that good. So, you know, that's kind of one of those where I don't think the Pels were as bad as that was made out to be just on the scoreboard. I think they just caught literally. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. Rob Diesel and you. Little technical difficulties there during that last segment. We apologize for that. We were talking about the NBA's Western Conference because that is the race where the action's at right this second. The East, for the most part, seems to be locked up, although there was a pretty significant chink in the armor to the Milwaukee Bucks with that big loss to an 18.5-point underdog Brooklyn Nets. So we're talking about the there are right now five teams all within a striking distance for that eight seed. You know, we've talked about the fact that the Suns, Pelicans, Spurs, and Trailblazers are all dogfighting each other for the nine, but it's not unreasonable to think that there is a very good chance that the Memphis Grizzlies, who are on, by the way, those of you who told me that the Grizz are just clearly the far and away best team to get the eight seed, the Grizzlies are on a four-game losing streak now. And granted, two of those losses were before the shutdown, but the Grizz have come in and dumped a pair of games right off the bat in the restart. I don't know how you can be convinced that the Grizz, who were carrying what I believe they were carrying a three-point lead when they started, or a three-game lead when they went into the restart, they are now just a game and a half in control of the one seed overall in the Western Conference. I mean, the reality of this situation is that right this second, the Memphis Grizzlies are a beatable team. Look, we all know Ja Morant is an absolute stud, but they have shown the last couple of times that they've taken to the floor that if you are able to let, you can't stop Ja, but you can limit Ja. The rest of that Grizzlies team this second, I'm not saying this can't or won't change, but this Grizzlies team is very, very likely to lose a couple of more games. And if they lose a few more games, they could drop from the eight down to the nine. So it's not so much a question mark of who fights to the nine seed and has to beat the Grizz twice in order to make the playoffs. This is now a fight between all of these teams, from the Suns up to the Grizzlies. The Suns are only three games out from the Grizz. I don't know that they'll make up three full games, but could the Pelicans make up 2.5 games with five games remaining? It would take some help, right? They are going to need some help out of the Grizzlies to dump a couple of games down the roster. The Grizz have coming up, after the Pelicans knocked them off 109-99 to make up a full game there, the Grizz have the Jazz, which is a losable game, the Thunder, which is a losable game, the Raptors, which I don't know that I was said was a losable game a day and a half ago, but the Raptors just coming off of a big couple of games, look like they could beat better than the Grizz. The Celtics can beat the Grizzlies, and the Bucks could beat the Grizzlies. I got to tell you, it is realistic for me, for the Grizz, who have have five games left. Five of those games are losable games. I think it's very not likely, but it is possible that the Grizz could finish the season 1-4 to wrap up. And if they go 1-4, there's a better than good chance that they could get caught by multiple teams. The Grizz may not even be in the nine seed when this whole thing wraps up. The Suns coming up are looking at a final stand. That includes a game against the Pacers tomorrow. That should be a winnable game. The Heat, who are coming off a big win against the Celtics, that's a question mark game. The Thunder, which I would say is that's a toss-up game as well. Game against the 76ers, toss-up game. And a game against the Mavericks, I like the Mavs in that game. So I could see the Suns going either 3-2 or 2-3 in that stretch. They could theoretically overtake the Grizz. The Pelicans have the easiest road remaining. They've got a game tomorrow that I think, if they want to be the 8 or 9 seed, is a must win against the Kings at 1:30. Then they got a game against the Wizards on Friday. That's a winnable game. On Sunday, they play the Spurs. That's a winnable game. Then they play the Kings next Tuesday. That's a winnable game, although a question mark game. And they've got the Pelicans versus the Magic scheduled for next Thursday. That's a winnable game. If the Pelicans play the way that they played against the Memphis Grizzlies in that last win, I don't think it's unrealistic for the Pels to go 4-1, maybe the full 5-0. I know I'm being optimistic there, but again, I'm not looking at this from the perspective of, can the Pelicans scratch to a 9? I am looking at this as, look, the 8 seed is up for grabs. The Grizzlies have dumped a pair of games to start the restart and are on a four-game losing streak. They won't stay on it, but teams have figured out how you can go after Ja Morant and throw them off. I look at the Spurs' final games They've got the Nuggets, loss. That's going to be today at 4 o'clock. They've got the Jazz, loss on Friday. They've got the Pelicans on Sunday, loss. They've got the Rockets on Tuesday, loss. And then they've got a rematch against the Jazz next Thursday to wrap up the season. The Spurs could go 0-5. They could go 1-4 in that stretch. I don't think that it is likely that the Spurs are going to be able to go with a winning record to wrap that up. And then you've got the Trailblazers. Trailblazers have the Nuggets tomorrow, toss-up game. The Clippers on Saturday, leaning Clippers. The 76ers on Sunday. I like the Blazers in that matchup, although that's a potential L depending on what the Sixers do. The 76ers have been hot garbage playing anywhere except Philadelphia. Can they figure those woes out down in the bubble? Then they've got the Mavericks next Tuesday. I like the Mavs in that one. Then they've got the Nets to wrap up the season. Should be a win for the Blazers unless the Nets have found something, but I'm not banking on it. So that's where we stand for the five teams. Make that six teams if you include the eight seed. The six teams that are looking for the eight seed there. The point that I'm making here is that this thing is far from over in the West. The Grizzlies are falling back. The Trailblazers look good after the win over Houston. The Spurs are on a one-game losing streak. Tough schedule ahead of them. The Pelicans with a big win over Memphis. I mean, that was a game that was closed for probably 10 minutes or so. Start of the fourth period, it looked like the Grizz were going to fight their way back. But the Pelicans actually put Zion back onto the floor to wrap up that game, and he gave them some big moments. And then you got the Suns and the Kings, who are, I think, better competition for the Pels, Grizzlies, and Blazers than the Spurs are, even though the Spurs are in the 10 seed right now. I love what the NBA West is right now. I love what the NBA West is in the playoffs right now, okay? I know we've been talking about making the playoffs. Who's going to make the playoffs? The NBA West is in the playoffs right this very second. They are already in the playoffs, and I love it. The NBA is giving us exactly what we wanted out of the restart down there in the bubble. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two just around the corner. UConn announcing that they are postponing their football program. They will not play football in 2020. Their next football snap will take place in 2021. What impact might that have on the rest of college football? We'll talk about that and the response from players and a whole heck of a lot more. Stick around. We're going to have some fun in hour two. Rob Diesel, you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.